The preacher must hold the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Christians must understand the times. The church must be creative and relevant, appealing to the hearts of men and women, both the saved and the lost. But true worship must begin with God. Jesus tells us in John 4:24 that we must worship in spirit and in truth. Worshiping in truth means that we come informed by the objective revelation of God's Word about the great God we serve and the precepts He has spoken. In this sense, our worship is governed by what we know and believe about God. The better informed we are, the better we can worship. We should be familiar with and take to heart passages such as Genesis 1, Psalm 139, the book of Job, Isaiah 6 and 45, John 7, John 17, Romans 1 through 3, Revelation 19, and others in order to prepare for God-centered worship. This knowledge of God through His Word ought to heighten our expectations and instill healthy fear and reverence. As Annie Dillard wrote, "On the whole, I do not find Christians outside of the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions. Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews, for the sleeping God may wake some day and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return." Besides worshiping in truth, we worship in spirit. That refers to our human spirits, the inner person. True worship flows from the inside out. Worship is not an external activity, but is of necessity first internal. In Mark 7, 6-7, Jesus warned hypocrites by quoting the words of Isaiah 29:13. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain." True worship springs from within our spirit, from the spontaneous affections of the heart, as it did from the heart of David when he wrote Psalm 130. "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning." The New Testament does not reveal a greater God than we see in the Old Testament, but it gives us a greater revelation of God. So we could say that Jesus Christ explains God for us. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 18. He makes this invisible God visible, God in the flesh. The teaching of Colossians 1, 15 through 18 provides a mind-boggling revelation of God in Christ. We see Him as the Creator. "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by..."